Acts chapter 1. Let's stand and read the Word of God tonight. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts 1:8. Giving God the honor of the reading of His Word. It's always good to stand. If you're able. But ye shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the utmost part of the earth. Goes me to verse 41 of chapter 2. And they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church such as should be saved. Chapter 4, verse 4. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Throughout the scriptures, you just keep turning and turning over chapter 5 and verse 11. And great fear fell upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. Verse 14. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both men and women. And if you would take your scriptures and just keep going down and down and down and down and down. In Acts, you just find people getting saved, people getting saved, people getting saved. Now, you also understand, when people get saved, there's also what? There's also persecution. Things happen, people get saved, and then persecuted. Why the persecution? Why the persecution? Does God love us to have persecution? God doesn't love us to have persecution, but persecution comes because Satan and his imps of hell hate it when people get saved. Just despise it. Now, let me tell you something. Whether you like it or not, you're going to have persecution. Troubles and sorrows follow you every day. Every day. You will have problems, you will have heartaches, you'll have sorrow every day. Now, either you walk with God in that sorrow and troubles, or you walk alone. I choose to walk with Jesus. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. You're going to have troubles, you're going to sorrow. Some of you, why don't you sit down, I'll preach to you, all right? Some of you folks out here, you've been around a little bit longer than other people. Some of you have not been saved, you're older, but you've been saved later in life. And you remember those days. You remember the days in the bars. You remember the days in the battles, in the fights, in the bar rooms, and you remember the troubles and sorrows that happened during. There was trouble back in those days. Yes, there was. And you maybe remember a dad or a mom who were unsaved, and you remember the troubles and sorrows they went through, and how they lost their mom, and how they lost their dad, and how their hearts were broken. But they went alone. They were by themselves. And then something miraculous happened to you. You got saved. You got gloriously, miraculously saved, and now you do not walk alone. You have the Lord Jesus Christ. You can go to Him at night and say, "Dear God, I don't understand this thing." But before you're saved, you just sat there and tried to use your humanistic thinking and tried to think about other people that could help you instead of going to Almighty God who shares your love and concern and gives you that grace, the things that you don't deserve, and the mercy that He holds back things that you deserve. Would you say amen to that? That happens. I don't want to be alone. Many times I feel very alone. I don't want to be alone. I just don't want to be alone. Troubles and sorrows come to me. Yes, they do. They come to me. They come to you, whether you like it or not. But I'm not going to walk alone. I'm going to walk with Jesus Christ. I don't like to be alone. It's not fun to be alone. It's not fun to go to have nobody to talk to. It's not fun to have nobody to parley with, nobody to speak to, nobody to get some information that may help you. That's not fun. But you can go to a holy God who loves you and cares for you, has never let you down. He'll never leave you nor forsake you, and He will be there if you allow Him to. A lot of people don't allow Him to. A lot of people don't pick up their Bible. Just make sure you bring it to church on Sunday morning. That's all you got. I want to again challenge you. Read your Bible through this year. I saw somebody, I can't remember who it was. Somebody said to me, I'm going to go to the church that says, "Hey, preacher, I read my Bible through last year, and I'm going to read it again." I said, "Boy, that's great. That is really great. Good to read your Bible through. Good to find out that there is things in there in the Bible that the preacher's been preaching that it really is true." Amen. All right. Well, I want to talk to you about the pastor's job. I want to talk about the pastor's job. My job. What is my job? Well, the most important job that a pastor has, let alone every born-again Christian, is to lead people to the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. That's my job. That's my job, to lead people to Jesus Christ. By the way, that's your job too. That's our magnificent call from God. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Baptize in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. No, that's our job. That's our job. Yes, it's your job, teenager. Yes, it's your job, child. Yes, it's your job, mom and dad, grandma and grandpa. It is your job to tell people about Jesus Christ. We're not to get something and not pass it on. We're to get it and pass it on. That's our job. Now, it's a fundamental responsibility in my office as a pastor to be a soul winner. And it's essential in my ministry to be a soul winner, to tell people about Jesus Christ. By the way, Scripture demands it. Scripture demands that your pastor is a soul winner. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5, Paul tells Timothy that he has to do the work of an evangelist. In essence, well, make full proof of your ministry. That's my job. My job, tell people about Jesus Christ. I'm always looking for people. Always trying to find somebody who doesn't have Jesus Christ. Always asking a question. Hey, can I ask you a question? If you die today, would you go to heaven? I asked that the other day. Yesterday at the funeral, I went over to this lady, and she said, "You did something to me." I said, "Okay." She said, "We know you. You don't know us, but we know you. And our son was killed in a car accident. And he was from CMR, a football player, number 94. And she told me a picture of him. And she said, "We have not been in church for 3 years because of this." And she says, we have been fighting in our hearts this. It's killing us. But you said something to me. There's just something about you." And I wasn't going to argue with it. It's not about me. It's about the Holy Spirit. And you all know that. And I told her, I said, "Well, what do you mean?" She says, "We've never had peace about this thing, but maybe we're going to get through this thing. Maybe we're going to get through this thing." And I said, "Let me ask you a question. Did you pray that prayer with me today?" I always ask people. And I have a funeral, I ask people. I just got a call from a family yesterday. I know Mark got to a home for that funeral. Got a call from a family, said, "Will you do a funeral in July for us for your friend, old Bill?" I said, "I'd love to." And she said, "Boy, that was quite a funeral we had before. I think 80-some people got saved at that one. And I'm looking forward to that memorial service." We'll all be looking for people to get saved, amen. That's our job. Our job is to comfort people. How much more comfort can you give a person to say, "Hey, you know what? You're going to see him again." That's a comfort. That's the hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me illustrate something today, okay? As your pastor, it's my responsibility to go soul winning, okay? So let's pretend Rick is not saved. That's not hard, but anyway, let's pretend he's not saved, all right? And I go to him and I say, hey, brother Rick, you've been my friend, and let me ask you a question. If you died today, would you go to heaven?" And he says, "No, I'm not sure." And I said, "Well, brother Rick, this is what the Bible says." And he bows his head. And he has Jesus in his heart. Amen. Okay? That's my job. So that's the first week. I bring Brother Rick to church, and I say, "This is Brother Rick Commando. He's asked Jesus Christ in his heart. He's getting baptized today. Hallelujah. Amen." And everybody shouts. Amen. All right. Now, Brother Rick, let me tell you something. The first job of a born again Christian, number one, is to get baptized. Baptizing doesn't save you, but baptizing shows what you believe in your heart. Okay. Now, the second job is to go find somebody and tell them about Jesus Christ. So, go get somebody, get them to save. Amen. And I'm going to go out here and I'm going to get somebody saved. Amen. And so, Logan gets saved. Come on, Logan. Come on. All right. Boy, he got saved. No way. All right.
Yeah.
So, they get baptized, right? And what's our job?
Go find someone else.
Go find somebody else. You go find somebody else. I'll go find somebody else. Hey, man, Jonah, I don't want to walk all that way. Come on, don't mess with the Holy Spirit. Let's go. Amen. Okay, come up there. It's the third week. Week three, right? Rick got saved, and then Logan got saved, and Charles got saved. Wow, that's like Apostle Paul getting saved, amen. And then Logan brought, you brought?
Heaven.
And then I brought Brother Jonah. Okay. You know what, guys? You need to get baptized. And then you got to go bring one. So go out and bring one. Amen. Come here, Larry. I ain't walking all the way for you. Come on, brother. Get down this aisle, brother. Don't fall. No. All right, this is week five. This is week five. All right. This is week five. That ain't nothing. Look who's bringing that guy. Shoot. All right. Now, fellas, you know, and girls, you know, that when the only girl we got, you better get some girls up here. The only thing God tells you to do, the first thing to do is get baptized. Because it tells in your heart that you've asked Jesus Christ in your heart. But the next step in your life is to go get one. Go get one. Come here, brother. This is week six. All right. Praise the Lord. I'm glad you finally got saved, brother. Aren't you, mama? Aren't you glad you got saved? Wicked brother. Amen. All right. This is week six. This is week six. Now remember who led you to Christ, okay? Yeah, we're getting pretty full up here, all right? This is week six, okay? Week six, I should have 32 converts. But where's the first convert I led to the Lord? Come here, stand right here. Who's the second convert I led? Come right here. Who's the third convert I led? Come right here. No. Did I lead you, Lord?
Yeah.
Are you sure? No. And then Larry. And then who else? Oh, there you go. All right, brother. All right, now, you guys just stand right here. Stand right here. These are my converts. This is pastor's job, okay? What if they didn't go?
For 6 weeks. Just bring them one. Just one.
Oh, I can't believe you made it, brother. All right. You got an idea? Someone take my camera out there and take a picture of this. Come here. No, you got saved, brother. Stay there, brother.
I can go back.
You know what? A lot of them do that. I think that's on video. Change that. Just slide it over, all right? Everybody look there. Everybody raise your hand like this. Not both hands. I don't want to know that Ferguson junk.
Thank you.
All right. All right.
Didn't get it.
What are you doing? You didn't do that. This neat guy needs to be baptized and held down long time. All right. You can be seated. Thank you, brother. What I'm just trying to tell you is, That's all 6 weeks does. How many of you wish you got saved today? We can take care of it after the service. Amen. All right. 6 weeks. In 10 weeks, that's just 6 weeks. In 10 weeks, we would have had 411 converts in 10 weeks. I did this in a larger church, and it was they did, and I just kept going and going. It didn't take long. Salvation doesn't take long, but it's our job. Someone cared enough for you. Someone paid the price to get you saved. There was some pastor some way, way far back that maybe led your grandma and grandpa to the Lord, and then they led somebody else to the Lord, and led somebody else somewhere. Somebody had to pay the price to get you saved. And that's our responsibility. Just finding the person to come to Christ once a week. Just finding them. You say it can't happen. Well, if just two of us did it, just two every week, it'd be better than nothing, amen. But you got to look about. I'm not saying you have to come to soul winning on Saturday morning. I'm not saying that. Some can't. But there are opportunities throughout your week that you can at least win somebody to Jesus Christ. Now, the old saying is, if you lead 10, one will come. You say, but preacher, what if... You know, I'm not sure if they really got saved. I'm not either. I've had people that came, I've led to the Lord, and all of a sudden they show up in the back of the church. I want to say, what are you doing here? And then there's others, I just know that they're going to come to church. And they promised to be here, and they promised to get baptized, promised to serve God, and they've given all their life, and not there. I met a boy yesterday at the funeral. He came to our church until he was 12 years old. He's 6'8", about 280 pounds, great big old Indian boy. And he says,
preacher, I used to come to your church.
I said, holy cow. I said, what you been eating, boy? Boy, just, you know, sign him up for the... Green Bay needs him next year. and wow, you know. I said, hey, buddy. I said, how you doing? I said, why don't you come back? Well, he said, preacher, I'm going to another church. I said, praise the Lord! This is not the only place. We know it is, but they don't. It's not the only place. He's in church. He's faithful. Hey, you know what?
Whether you do it or not, there's going to be more than just Heritage Baptist Church in heaven.
Thought I'd tell you that. In 10-week period, you'd have 10 converts of your pastor. You'd have 412 converts of his converts. So who's important? The pastor important? 10? Or the converts 412? Yeah, that's my job. Because I'm a Christian. I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior when I was 14 years old. And the moment I get saved, God says, go ye. That's not a permissible thing. It is a command. If you want to go, you can go. No, God said, go ye and all. It's very imperative. You can't get out of it. So if you haven't told anybody about Jesus Christ, you know what you're doing. You're going against the principles of the Word of God. The God who gave you salvation, the God who given you eternal life, the God who's given you heaven with everything, you're saying, I'm just going to keep it myself. I don't need, you know, I'm not going to be one of those crazies, those fanatics. No, God says we're to tell people about Jesus Christ. There's many ways you can win people to Jesus Christ. There's what we call, what I used to go to college, you used to call lifestyle evangelism. And that was the call of our college at that time. Our college said, hey, you know, some of us would go out and knock on doors, just few of us. And I did it because my friend Jim asked me to go with him. He said, man, I don't want to go along. And I've got a assignment in college. Will you go with me? I said, yeah, whatever, you know. They gave us 119 arguing verses. They didn't give you Romans Road to give you arguing verses. Now, if he's a Catholic, this is what you use on him. He's a, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormon, forget it. But anyway, they used, this is what they gave us a list, and we were supposed to learn that list. Then I ran into this Texas tornado named Dr. Jack Hiles. And he said, tonight we're going to mark our Bibles. We're going to mark our New Testaments on the Romans Road. He says, when you're out telling people about Jesus Christ, it's always good just to stay in the same book so it's not confusing. And he went on to different things. And he said, all right, take your Bible and turn to Romans chapter 3 and verse 10. And then he said, go to Romans chapter 3, verse 23. And he went, walked us through that Romans Road. I was a pastor when I first heard about that. I'd won some people to Jesus Christ. People walked the aisles. I got saved. But nothing like personal evangelism. I took that home with me. And I started showing my New Testament people that would never come to my church. Soul winning is not build your church. Soul winning is doing the great command of God. If they come to church, praise God. I've seen people go out and soul win and they don't come, but other people come in. I think that's God's blessing to us. Amen. I know you want them to get to church. But that's one ply of the devil that tries to discourage you. Well, he didn't come to church, so I'm not going to go anymore. You don't have to go to church to get to heaven. But it's a command of God, and they're disobedient if they don't come to church. But you've done your job. The blood is off your hands when you go win people to Jesus Christ. Many people call it confrontational soul winning. I don't like calling it that because I don't want to be ornery about soul winning. If you knock at somebody's door and they don't answer your door, Brother Joe Boyd, you say, hey, leave them alone and go to the next one because there's people out there who want to hear about Jesus Christ. If they don't want to hear about it, they've given their chance. Don't stand around and bang on the door and say, hey! You don't do that. Go to their door. They open their door to you. Even the Bible says that. It says, hey, if they allow you to come in, come in. If they don't, hey, turn around, wipe the dust off your feet and go to that. Because there's somebody waiting. Oh, Joe Boyd is pretty clear about that. I think it's very good. When you're winning people to Jesus Christ, the person don't want to hear you, go on. Go find somebody that wants to hear you. Go find somebody that wants to hear about the love of Jesus Christ. There's plenty of people out there in Great Falls that their hearts are hurting today. Just like this family for 3 years. Where has the soul winners been? Where have we been that we didn't knock on their door? And this mama who lost her teenage boy, her senior in high school boy, lost him. She has no hope of ever seeing him again. And you could have stood up to them and said, hey, can I tell you something about Jesus? How he loves you and cares for you. In fact, he even sent me here for you today. That's soul winning. Soul winning is not saying, you dirtbag, look at that crucifix on there. I've been soul winning people. And his family has a crucifix. You know what a crucifix is? It's a Catholic cross. Jesus is still hanging on it. And this guy, he starts just browbeating this family. Number one, it is not your home. You're a visitor. Listen to me. It is not your home. You're a visitor. You don't barge in. You don't put your foot in the door. If they invite you to come in, you come in. If they don't invite you to come in, you don't come in. And you leave it so that next time I'm banging on their door, they'll say, yeah, you're from Heritage Baptist Church. You bunch of fanatics. Get out of here. I don't want anybody to say it. One lady says, I was watching this comedian one time. He says, do you know what every Jehovah's Witness has a red dot on their chest? He says, and the guy said, no, why? You get off my porch! But anyway. That's supposed to be funny. I'd like you to laugh. Baptist should not have that red dot on your chest. You come in and you're very gentle, you're very kind. You are coming representing the Lord Jesus Christ. What was the Lord Jesus Christ? He was what? Anybody remember? What about Jesus Christ? He was what? Meek and mild. Some of you are crazy and wild. I don't want that kind of stuff coming out of Heritage Baptist Church. I want you to knock on the door and say, "Hello, my name is Sheldon Shearer, and this is Brother Rick, and we're from the Heritage Baptist Church." Announce yourself. Tell them we are. And it says, no soliciting. I know we're not solicited. Sorry. They've already put it on their door. I'm not going to knock on their door. Do you want people coming on your property? Hey, you know, I'm interested. There's a lot of Christians go out banging on doors. But boy, when the Jehovah's Witnesses or the Mormons come to your door, you are flat out ugly. So the next time you go knocking on somebody's door, just remember how you act when somebody bangs on your door and you haven't been, and your wife is sleeping and you want it to be very quiet. And they barge in. Your child is just, it's got, their days and nights turn around. How many ever had that? Oh my soul. That's next to purgatory. Though it's not in the Bible, it's still next to purgatory. And I just remembered something I was supposed to do. And so, I want you to be very careful how... He'll be okay. He's a big boy. I want you to be very careful how you win people to Jesus Christ. You're winning people to Jesus Christ. He was meek and mild. You never seen the Lord Jesus Christ grab somebody by the neck and shake the fire out of them and tell them he's going to throw fire at them if they didn't ask him into their heart, did you? Oh, he was sweet. He was meek. And mild. It was a wonderful thing. I was Dr. Jack Hiles, if you ever heard him preach at pastor school, he lit the place up. I mean, he was screaming. I mean, the devil was hiding out back. Amen. I would do that kind of preaching he was. But if you ever met Dr. Jack Hiles in the person, that wasn't the pulpiteer. He was the most sweetest, humble man you ever met. Until he got to know you and he'd just tease the fire out of you. And some people take that, the pulpit, and say, this is how we do it. No, the pastor on your church service is trying to rev you up like the coach is trying to rev up his ball players. Something that didn't happen today. Good. Let's be very careful in our Christian life that we, when we go tell somebody about Jesus Christ, we want to present Jesus Christ in the sweetness and the preciousness that man knows that there is a God that loves them. They don't understand. First of all, when Jesus Christ came to the earth, He came not just to save people from damnation and hell, but to save them from their sins. He wanted to save their past, save them from what they'd already condemned, what they've already committed. Aren't you glad He did that? Aren't you glad God saved us from things we did? And then, He came for the present to save them from the power of sin. Romans chapter 6, verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Thank God for that. I don't have to sin. I don't have to sin. God give me power. If you drink booze, and we'll destroy you. If you're immoral and cheat and lie, God promises to save you from that kind of sin. Aren't you glad about that? 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not some. He doesn't say, well, that was too bad, I can't forget. No, He said, I'll cleanse you from all. So I'll take your sin deep in the deepest sea. I'll never remember it again. I'll cast it from the east and the west. I don't know about you, but that's a wonderful promise to God. And in the future, He saves them from the punishment of sin in hell. Sin has to be dealt with. Sin always has a debt. Sin has to be paid for, already paid for, on the cross, Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Four words in that commission. Number one, go. We're to go. And for most part, we're all on the go. There's at the gas station, there's the grocery store, there's the mail office, there's the whatever. We're on the go. Grocery store, wherever. We're on the go. Cleaners. We're on the go. Have some tracks with you. Have some tracks with you. Teach. That means win them to Christ. I said, this is what God said. And God loves you so much. You say, well, they won't accept it. I know there's been a lot of people in my life who won't accept it, but there's also been a lot of people who want to accept it. I've had people tell me, said, preacher, I've been looking for that. Preacher, I knew there was something about that. Thank you for coming. Yeah, that's the one I like. I don't like to say, hey, I don't want none of your junk. Ah, that's just a crutch. Oh, that's just made up stuff. I don't believe that Bible. And many times I want to say, have you ever read it? But they don't believe the Bible. And baptize them and teach them. I know this is going to be a little technical, but these four words, one of these four words is a verb. And three are participles. Acts chapter 14, verse 21 and 22, we read, and when they had preached the gospel in that city and taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in faith that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Taught there is the same word as used in the Great Commission, to teach or to make disciples. Then, chapter 21, verse 16, there went with us also certain disciples of Caesarea, and brought with them Menas of Cyprus, an old disciple with whom we lodged. And God had given us the job to do. We have to make disciples. Every one of us are to make disciples, so we're to go to teach, to baptize and teach. This is the mission of the Great Commission that God has given to us. A man may say, My office in life, I'm a businessman. But my mission in life is the Great Commission. A man may say, I am in the military. That is my business. But my mission of life is to do the Great Commission. Another man may say, my office in life, oh, I'm a construction worker. But my mission in life, I'm to do the Great Commission. The pastor's greatest investment in the ministry is equip the saints. That's my job, to equip you. As a pastor, we're kind of like a family doctor, or what we call today the general practitioner. We pretty much deal with everything. I mean, looking around here, we deal with everything. I was supposed to be funny. It said, they will laugh. The evangelist is like the specialist, a certain area. There are three agents which we must enable as new disciples. Who is not willing to be taught and commit to Christ. Number one, the agent is, I have to use the Word of God. I have to use the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures, to win people to Jesus Christ. You can't do it yourself. It's impossible. You don't win people to Christ. The Word of God wins people to Christ. You understand that? You have to have the Bible. I remember Brother Howes used to say, before you leave, ask him if you can have a word of prayer with him. Sweetly, carefully. Not crap. If they say no, then shut up. Back off. Walk away. Knock the dust off your feet. It's okay. They made the choice. They made that choice. Just maybe next week Brother James is coming, or Sister Sherry is coming, or Brother Larry's going to come to their house and says, you know what? Some people from the church the other day, they're real nice. Instead of saying, you get off my porch, I don't want to ever see you here again. Let me ask you this. That man who's going to go to hell, does he have a chance if you make a mistake and you're rude and you're rough? Has he got a chance to go to hell? I mean, go to heaven? Probably not. But if you leave a good taste in their mouth and say, hey, you know what, I'm really sorry to bother you. They say, hey, you know what, I'm really busy. Do you mind if I come back again? Walk away, write down the number, and go back. Careful! Be very careful how you are. Whether you like it or not, you're from Heritage Baptist Church. And if you're from Heritage Baptist Church, guess who Heritage Baptist Church is? Me. And so the next time a guy pulled a gun on me or a knife, said, hey, you that guy from Heritage Baptist Church. Sending all those people around here to harass us. I'm going to have to kill him. Strike that from the record, sir. Quote scriptures. The Word of God is a sword. It's a hammer. It's a fire. Give him a tract. The Bible says, these things have been written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. The fool has said in his heart, there's no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. Understand, when you're going to tell somebody about Jesus Christ, it is, you're in the battleground. Whether you like it or not, you got to do it. Hey, you know what? How many got to go to work tomorrow? Boy, I'm glad. How many have to go to work tomorrow? Raise your hand. No, you don't. You don't have to go to work. I don't care if your wife does beat you. You don't have to go to work. You don't have to go to work. But if you don't go to work tomorrow, what's going to happen?
You'll lose your job.
Lose your job. So I'm getting up and going to work. Amen. It's your job. This is your job. God may say, okay, I'm tired of you. Come on home. You're done. You just cause more trouble and you're causing good. I can't teach you anything and you're teaching some people bad things. I'm going to take you home. You say, that don't happen. Number two. The second aid we need. What's that, Marcia? You better listen to Mama. The second agent we need to win souls to Christ is the Spirit of God on our life. Pray for God's power. He is the only one that can produce fruit. You can't produce fruit. I don't care how vivacious you are, how bombastic you are, and how committed you are, and that you have such passion. You can't do it. Joe Boyd, he was out preaching at an evangelistic meeting, people getting saved. And boy, it was just a great time in that city down in Ohio, and I think it was Ohio or Iowa, one of them. And boy, things were happening. One day, he walked by a bar. And the old bartender knew who he was and said, hey, Joe! Saw one of your converts in here last night. And Joe looked at him and said, yeah, it's probably one of mine, not God's. Because God's convert wouldn't be in your joint. Oh, Holy Spirit's got to be upon your life. You got to do the work. You can't do it. He's the one who produces fruit. And number three, you have to be a soul winner for the Lord, not yourself. You can't be for the pastor. It won't work. Because you love that pastor so much, I'm going to go soul winning. You love that preacher so much, you're going to do this and that. And all of a sudden that preacher takes a U-turn or something. And he disappoints you. And by the way, you just stay around me, I'll disappoint you. I really will. Say, well, if that's the way it is, and you just burned out. You're gone. You're gone. Because you are winning souls for the preacher. You're winning souls for the church. You're winning souls for your pride. I won so many people to Jesus Christ. Boy, you need to come out. It ain't going to work. It doesn't work. We do it for the Lord. We do it because what He's done in our hearts, what He's done in our lives, how He's saved us and forgave us and gave us mercy and grace. And we say, I love Him so much. Hey, you got a wife? Oh, man, you got a wife. And you just love her, love her, love her, love her. Oh, man, she's the best thing that ever happened to you. And you know that's true. And so you're going to try everything you can to please her and to love her and show her that it doesn't make any difference what you have, it's what she has. You know what that is? That's called true love. And Jesus illustrated that love as a Christian for Christ, as a husband for His wife. We don't quit soul winning because someone in the church didn't shake my hand. Or didn't wave at me. Or when you were down, they didn't come and help you. And your husband was abroad. And you needed somebody to shovel the snow. Well, bless God, that's the way it is. I'm not coming back to church. There was a lady a long time ago. Our church was trying to do some things for our widows. And they were really working hard. Well, this lady hardly ever came to church. That makes a difference, but she hardly ever came to church. She found out the kids were doing stuff. And she said, I'm never going back to that church. They didn't do that for me. We don't even know your phone number. We don't even know where you live. Why don't you come to church? And we'll try real hard. I felt real bad about it, but I don't know what to do about it. Well, I was in the hospital 3 times. Nobody come visit me. Well, why don't you go? I didn't want anybody to know it. Here's your sign. So number three, it's got to be the Lord. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11. And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Three agents. You've got to use the Holy Word of God. You got to have the power of Spirit upon your life. And you got to do it for the Lord. Simply. Don't be afraid to throw out a tract to Him. You don't even have to say nothing to Him. Many people are saved because someone gave them a tract. You just did your job. You might, in your life, practice lifestyle evangelism. I think that's a good idea, live for Jesus. That's a good idea. You ought to mow your lawns, keep it clean, keep your sidewalks clean, thank the mailman when he comes by. Boy, the other day, my middle son, gutted my basement. All the stuff we had, we got from our mission trips and everything, we said, we don't need that stuff anymore. Clothing, old blue jeans, and, well, could have made a couple tents out of mine, but anyway, just took it to Goodwill and put out in the garbage.
It was snowing and blowing that Monday. It was terrible. 2 weeks ago. I mean, it was nasty. And here's my old garbage man out there throwing that stuff in. I try to carry something in the back of my billfold right behind that so nobody would take it, amen? And I pull one of those out of there, and I went out there, and I said, I want to thank you for always picking up my garbage every Monday. He honked his horn, waved at me three times, almost ran into a car looking back. You know what happened? That's lifestyle evangelism. I couldn't get out the other day, and so I did the first time I ever did this. I ordered from IGA, and they will deliver you food. That was really easy. They call me twice. Are you sure this is what you want? Yeah. No, I want this. Okay, we'll get that. Wow, how cool is that? Huh? And a guy came up, slippery. You don't have to tip them. I'm not telling you, I'm not trying to tell you how good a guy I am. I'm just trying to tell you that that's the way Christians ought to be. We ought to be good guys. You guys run paper routes. It's nice to have a tip once in a while, amen? Every morning, they're there. Be nice if just put a Starbucks card there. I've learned in preaching after 45 years, when you hear that, it's time to pray and say goodnight. Dear Lord, I pray you'd help us, Lord God, to serve you. Help us to be very careful how we treat people. Help us, Lord God, how that you would just work in our hearts and lives, that we would live close to you. Lord, forgive us where we failed you. Lord, forgive us where we have taken advantage of others. Help us, Lord, to be that kind of Christians in Jesus' name. Amen. Is the baby still awake? Okay, we'll do this again.